I know we didn't go too much into the details of the study, so they didn't say how long they were holding poses for, but they were using those types of, I call it a little bit more static stretching, holding one stretch and holding it for basically, I went long periods, but more than a few seconds. So.
Yep.
It was interesting, though, because basically they've always said about some of the best treatment, self-care you can do to improve vascular functions and some of the other things like lowering blood pressure and arterial stiffness or reducing arterial stiffness was aerobic exercise.
Right. Get your heart pumping.
Exactly. So cardio, kind of the traditional cardio exercises like running, biking, swimming. And this is one of the first studies that really suggests that even non-cardio exercises can be beneficial to heart health.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We've got a great topic for this week's episode. We are going to talk to you guys about something Shannon and I are big proponents of and how it could help your heart.
Yes.
And I mean it in the organ function of it, not the
emotional.
Yes.
I think it could help emotionally as well.
We're going to talk about how stretching can help heart health.
Yes. Not high intensity workouts, but rather stretching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't like to do workouts, this podcast's for you.
All right. So before we jump into that, guys, thank you guys for once again sharing the podcast. We see that you're doing that, and it's reflecting the download numbers. So keep it up, and also go, if you get a chance, leave a rating and review, Apple Podcasts or the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. So we're going to jump into training recaps right now. So we had another decent week, I think, of training. You know, this week, I think things got to a got to a little bit of a breaking point for both of us in regards to the housing situation.
Yeah. I think this past week was supposed to be our countdown to, like, everything. And at this point, a week ago, we were in the place where, like, in a week from now, we're going to be getting ready to move, like, the next day and close on two houses and all this great stuff. And now we're still in the final countdown. You heard the final countdown. We're still there. We still have a mystery number of days left, but we have been told it will happen this week. So that's good.
Yep.
And now we're just, we both hit that point where we said we can't care this much. Like, right. we can't put everything as much as we have into this anymore. And we can't fight what isn't working. Because it was every time we turned around, something new, some new obstacle, some new setback, some new delay. And it was one of those instances where I think the same day we both just threw our hands up and said, it's going to be what it's going to be. And we literally cannot do anything else to control or help it. So we just sort of gave up the ridiculous stressing over it. And then over the last few days, I feel like we've seen things start to fall into place a lot easier. So our realtors brought over some bubbly today to celebrate
closing
the closing
one
house tomorrow. And I think we managed to do something this week in terms of fitness.
Yeah, I think I got on the Peloton once and got some. I definitely worked out with the kettlebell this week, which was nice. Yeah. I felt like a good lifting session. I needed it. So some chest press, some squats, some deep squats, and some windmills, which is one of my favorite kettlebell exercises. Really great for, I think, lower back health and and kettlebell swings. So speaking of lower
back, I love kettlebell swings.
Speaking of lower back health, that was a great one that I don't do as much as I used to. So it was good to get back to that. So 35-pound kettlebell. I think it's a decent size. Not huge, but definitely gets the job done. So,
yeah. So I got about 3 workouts in this past week, and it was pretty much all Peloton workouts because Peloton now has their like triathlon teams going, which you join a team and then your workouts with any instructor that's on that team goes to contribute to the overall team's goal. So triathlon is any like bike, tread, boot camp, stretching, anything like that goes towards the team's goals. So I don't think I would say I contributed a whole lot. I did like one endurance ride, like zone training with Matt Wilpers, who I love. No one's taught me more about performance training than him.
He's real good.
And then I did a boot camp. And then I did, no, not a boot camp. I did a HIIT. And then I did another more fun ride, like a pop ride, towards the end of the week, just for funsies.
Funsies? All right.
Yeah.
2 questions. See if you remember. Most challenging exercise in your boot camp workout. And
Breakdancers.
Breakdancers? Can you verbally describe what breakdancer is?
Yes. Get into a tabletop position. Lift your knees, like hover your knees off the ground so that you're standing like your toes and your hands are your support. Mm-hmm. Lots of core strength to just hold that pose. Oh, but then add it a bit more and go ahead and shift your weight onto your right hand while kicking your right leg over to the left-hand side, mm-hmm. dropping your hips back and lifting up your left leg or your left arm. So that essentially you're doing like a little kick through.
Yep.
Call
them kick throughs.
And then you come back down and you have to, here's the thing that I've done. I've never done the kick throughs with that knee position. I've always done them from like a V.
Interesting. Okay.
So it's a lot easier that way because then you don't have that middle kind of core work. But when you have to come back to holding your knees above the ground in between each side because you shift sides, I mean, it works your arms, it works your core, it works your legs. That was a toughie.
Nice. So. Yeah. Well, I've done a little bit of animal flow, which is kind of a training modality, and kick throughs. It's definitely one of them. One of the parts, definitely not integral, but it's a common, I would say, movement in there. So
yeah,
it's a good also, one. Favorite song from your pop ride?
Ooh.
Do you remember?
There were some really good ones too. I think it started with like Sia's Elastic Band song, mm-hmm. which is just a really good song to like kind of get you amped up because it's a really emotional song. And I feel like that was probably like it set the tone because it got me kind of amped up for the whole ride. All right, I liked it.
You passed the test. Whew. All right. So you mentioned stretching in your training recap, and I know we mentioned it at the beginning of this because our main topic of discussion for this week's episode is that there is a new study that was just released this week that has evidence suggesting that stretching, 12 weeks of stretching, can improve your heart health.
Tell me more.
Yes. Yeah, So there was a study done in Italy, I believe it was the city, University of Milan, and they performed a study of 12 weeks. They had a study group of, I believe, about 40 people, divided them in half, and half of them did passive stretching, which they either used a tool or gravity or some sort of apparati or a partner, if you will, to stretch muscle groups. And basically the group that did the stretching opposed to the group that didn't do the stretching had better vascular function when they did tests. So some of the tests they did were, let me list here. They said blood pressure was decreased, central and peripheral arterial Central and peripheral arterial stiffness was reduced and vascular function was increased after 12 weeks of passive stretching training, according to the authors of the study.
A reminder, the heart is a muscle.
That's right. But they were stretching their legs. Anyways, yeah, you're exactly right. So I did look up the study because it was interesting to see what stretches they did. So they got four pictures of the stretches they did. Now, Shannon and I are going to describe them. I would say one, the first picture, I would call that a hip flexor stretch.
Yeah, that's where you're standing, or actually this one's kneeling.
They're kneeling, yep.
And you've got one leg, one foot on the ground, one knee, top of your knee is resting on the ground. You're pulling that same foot towards your buttock.
Right. And they're doing a little bit of a forward lean on their to the side. Their leg is in front to really hit the up part of the hip flexor, the muscle near the hip. And they're also doing a little calf raise, bringing their heel to your butt, like you said, to get a little hamstring activation in there. So the second exercise, or excuse me, second stretch is more kind of like your traditional standing quad stretch. Yeah. Where you guys see hold something, somebody grabs the top of their foot and they pull it to their butt. It's a little bit more of a traditional, what you would think of as a quad stretch. And I think the third one looks like maybe a calf stretch.
That is a calf stretch.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
Calf stretch. So like they got their toe up on the edge of a box and their heel is on the ground. So driving their, looks like they're driving their toes up, get a little calf stretch.
And slight push back with the hips.
Mm-hmm. So they look like they're using some sort of like a foam mat to elevate their toes. And then the last one looks like to me would be like a hamstring stretch.
Yeah, using, in that case, that is like our elastic band or something.
So they're laying supine. They got one leg on the ground, one leg straight up as far as they can go towards the sky, like with Shannon, as Shannon mentioned, with a band around pretty much the ball of their foot. Mm-hmm. So that is very interesting. Like I said, they call it passive stretching because active stretching, you're, I think, a little bit more movement associated with not just holding one pose. So I know we didn't go too much into the details of the study, so they didn't say how long they were holding poses for, but they were using those types of, I call it a little bit more static stretching, holding one stretch and holding it for basically, I went long periods, but more than a few seconds. So.
Yep.
It was interesting though because basically they've always said about some of the best treatment, self care you can do to improve vascular functions and some of the other things like lowering blood pressure and arterial stiffness or reducing arterial stiffness was aerobic exercise.
Right, get your heart pumping.
Exactly. So cardio, kind of the traditional cardio exercises like running, biking, swimming. And this is one of the first studies that really suggests that even non-cardio exercises can be beneficial to heart health. So, you know, this is one of the kind of a preliminary study in this area. So they said that it needs to be replicated, but if it is replicated, it'll be prescribed more with, you know, when people who are, you know, suffering from vascular dysfunction. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now doctors obviously prescribe aerobic exercise, as part of self-care for those individuals that have, vascular dysfunction. So now this might be going along with this will be a non-aerobic exercise and or basically activity these people can do to help their heart function.
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting that they're starting to explore this realm of fitness and health a bit more because I think many people were really obsessed with high intensity as being like the key to health previously. And the stretching was always really just based off of injury prevention. It really wasn't long-term, you know, in a lot of things. It didn't seem as long-term focused, like specific systems so much. It's like, oh, you don't want to hurt yourself. You want to be able to walk. You go do some stretches. But it's interesting that this is now going far beyond that. I mean, you think about stretching, especially I mean, I know these are just leg stretches too, which is what I think is very interesting.
Right.
Because it's not what I would expect. Like if you're doing like core twists, you know, where you're twisting your upper body, or I guess it's your mid spine. Those have proven to be very helpful in terms of organ function, because you're kind of pressing and almost massaging some of those internal organs. And that makes sense to me. Like, you know, if you're stretching your back and you're doing, you know, those kinds of stretches that would compress and stretch, elongate even your internal organs, I could see where that would have an impact to elasticity and all of that. But leg stretches.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously it's really kind of looking at, you know, arterial health. So, I mean, the amount of arteries throughout the body are tremendous, but, you know, like the amount of arteries, especially, you know, your femoral artery running through your legs
Very
and
true.
Things like that. So, it might just be an easier, you know, less internal organs in that area. So maybe they were better, easy to check out those areas as far as, you know, as arteries and veins go. So I'm sure if you can go more details, I'll give everybody the citation for the study itself. If I can get off these pictures. Oh, God, I am stuck on pictures now. Okay, so this is from the Physiological Society, the Journal of Physiology. It's a publication of the Physiological Society. It's evidence for improved systematic and local vascular function after long-term passive static stretching training of the musculoskeletal system. So this was published in July 1st of this year. So definitely, if you want to go into more details of how some more of their study methods. Yeah, I mean, some more of their study methods, because I mean, I was reading through it and I was like, oh my goodness, it's, and obviously anything like this is very detailed and well, it should be. So, but it's definitely a great kind of like preliminary study to show how I think something we've always, I know as a trainer, I've really been focusing on it, but you as a yoga practitioner, the importance of stretching.
Oh, yeah.
Because I run into a couple people that still come into the gym, people come to, you know, work with me and have me as their personal trainer, and they're not interested in stretching. So I basically have to sneak stretching in. It's like trying to feed our daughter vegetables. Like, I have to pretend, like, I have to just, like, get sneak in the stretching to them. So, like, they don't really think it's stretching, you know. So, luckily, things like stick mobility allow you to do that. TRX.
This is strength building. And they're like, really? And you're like, yes, wink, wink.
Well, the thing is, too.
It is.
And it's, but it's also, it's a lot of people don't think they need stretching. And then once you add in the stretching, they really enjoy it. So it's something that it's, but there, that's very, I would say that's a very, the small minority of the people who don't really care for stretching. That's very, very small portion. There's many more people are actually, they dig the idea of stretching, because a lot of people come in stiff or with poor mobility or, you know, lack of flexibility. So,
well, yeah, I think people athlete type people may think they already know all the stretches.
Right.
And that's probably like, why would I pay a trainer for that?
Right. Yeah, and there are some of those, but like I said, that's why the beauty of things like stick mobility they add a whole new level. And as far as mobility training, I mean, things like FRC and FRA and kin stretch, and then, you know, now there's Eldoa. I keep saying it wrong. I don't want Eldoa, which is, I know Kathleen Trotter was on the podcast, talked about that in a little bit more detail, but I know the TPI system is really adapting that. So, there's so many
acronyms right there.
Yeah, there's so many. There's so many.
You're just putting letters together. I don't believe anything you just said.
Yeah. But it's interesting because TPI, and I will explain that in a second, might be part of our next segment for me.
Interesting.
It's because we're going to get into what we're pumped about.
Oh, bring on
that
wonderful section.
I went first. No, I'm going first. You went first last time. So I
by all means, yes. Sir.
Because I'm just going to keep on going the TPI route. TPI is Titleist Performance Institute. I know I talked about it on the podcast before. It's a golf fitness certification I recently got. And one of the heads and kind of creator of the whole TPI system is named Greg Rose. Dr. Greg Rose, and he's actually going to be doing a free live webinar today. As you guys, this podcast released July 20th, and he is part of the summer seminar. I'm trying to get it right. The summer seminar series from Perform Better 2020.
Say that 10 times fast.
Exactly. So basically, Perform Better, which has been like, I guess it's kind of a, it's like a, I don't even the best way. It's a website. They do equipment, but they also do certifications. It is like a basically a full service fitness and health marketplace resource, whatnot. So they provide so many things. They actually have a seminar, I think, each year in Orlando, a 3-day seminar that I've always wanted to go to and never got the chance. Probably didn't have it this year, but, what they are doing instead of having their in-person seminars is that they're basically doing a whole, I think it's been going on since early July of just, actually early June, excuse me, of seminars, daily seminars from some of the top fitness people in the country, probably like in
webinars.
The world. Yes, webinars. Thank you. So this, and it happens to be the one that's today, as you guys hear this, is Greg Rose, the creator of the Titleist Performance Institute. The guy who's there when I actually got my certification in Orlando. And later this week, there's another golf fitness pro. And a couple weeks ago, Josh Hankin, who's created Ultimate Sandbag Training System. So it's like they're really getting some of the top level guys that are going on there and giving free webinars. So this is and you can actually get CEUs from attending these seminars. So it's like something that's really, it's got me pumped because it's a great way to, you know, not only keep my continuing education going, but, it's one of the rare times you can actually learn from these people without going to a seminar.
Yeah.
You know, traveling somewhere and, you know, going to the seminar, these people are being a resource to people now.
Yeah. The virtual programs that have become available since all this started, that used to be strictly in person and you used to have to pay a small fortune for, mm-hmm. It's kind of amazing because everybody's in the same bucket. So everybody has to figure out a way to do this. And now I feel like they're making much more accommodating sort of exceptions or conditions so that you can, like, you're really opening up a lot of space for people to get access to this. Mm-hmm. The accessibility has skyrocketed.
So what has got you pumped?
What's got me pumped this week is actually something that we've talked about recently on the podcast. And I said that I would come back and I would give an honest to goodness reveal if it was something I was continuing to enjoy. And that is my mud water. And it sounds delicious and delightful. I know everybody's probably just mouth watering right now, but it is my cacao and adaptogen drink, and it has become a bit of a coffee replacement for me. Granted, I only drink about one cup a day versus, like, I know a lot of people. Not a lot of people, but I know there are some people who drink like 6 cups of coffee a day. This is just one cup of coffee that I'm essentially replacing with mud water. Mm-hmm. And it is delicious. I think I described it as like a, it's almost like a chai tea with a little bit of that rich sort of cacao flavor. And it's, I mix it with, they say to mix it with like water and milk, but I just do it like latte style. I just mix it with some milk. They give you this great little frother, and I'm telling you, the frother is fantastic. And I've like used it for all kinds of things, and you just get this wonderfully creamy drink. And it satisfies all of like the things that I want in the morning. It's not sweet, but it's got the spices in it that sort of make it almost like a tea sweet. Or like very warm and very flavorful. It's very like it's got packed with those warm spice flavors that I enjoy. And then it does actually make me feel like energized. It's got all of the great like cordyceps and lion's mane and a lot of those kind of amp up adaptogens in it, but it doesn't leave me like the rise and fall of a coffee. And I drink that thing for like 2 hours, just like I would a cup of coffee, and I don't get the crash. So I get to, you know, my 2 or 3 o'clock, which is where I would hit my wall, and I'm usually still feeling fine. I might get like, you know, like a cup of tea or something like that, but I'm not experiencing like the post-coffee crash, which is so nice. And I feel like my body and my teeth and all of those other things are so much happier not having coffee every single day. So that is what's got me pumped lately. It's what pumps me up on the mornings. I'm like doing it about half the days of the week right now. I treat myself to coffee has now become more of a treat.
There you go.
And versus like the everyday gotta have it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad pretty happy like about it. I'm glad you like it.
And still, I got my mom onto it as well.
Still need a better name, but anyway.
Their copywriter's amazing. I don't care.
Well, that was another great job. Great what we're pumped about segment.
Yes.
I'm very stoked that all the stretching we've been doing is helping our heart health.
I know. Most likely. Makes me want to go stretch some evidence more right now.
And I'm looking forward to another great week working out with you.
I know. There is something pretty awesome about working out like on the Peloton or and then looking over and seeing Nick right over there sweating along, doing whatever he's doing when it's still dark outside and we're trying to be quiet. So, yeah, it's been good.
All right. You got anything else for him this evening?
Don't think so.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter at the ATF Podcast and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.